Psalm 67, the shining face of God. In Gloucestershire, England, there's an old-fashioned garden, an orchard, and in one corner is a tombstone, a gravestone, and on it are these words: December 21, 1869. Here lies Tidman's missionary hen. Her contribution, £4.10. Although she is dead, the work goes on, and she has left 7 daughters and a son to carry on the work that she begun. And instead of amen, they've got so be it, which means amen. And of course, there is a story behind that poem and that gravestone. Tidman was a man who lived in the village, and he wanted to do something to help the London Missionary Society, but money was scarce. So he decided he would set apart one of his many hens and give any money raised from the production of that hen to the London Missionary Society. Before she died, he had raised £4.10. If you want to know what that is in today's money, see Mr. Fielder afterwards. £4.10. That was not all, though. She sat on 8 of her eggs. They all hatched. And all 8 then went into production, raising money for the London Missionary Society. When the hen died, the man had the body embalmed and buried in the garden and erected a monument. And Tidman wanted people to see the monument and think, I could do that, and to copy that idea. And so even though the hen was dead, long after it was buried, it still encouraged others to support the work of mission. Now, Psalm 67 is a harvest hymn. We're told that in verse 6, the land yields its harvest. But it's also a missionary hymn. The heart of God cries out in this psalm for the nations. Look at verse 2, all nations. Verse 4, the nations. Verse 7, to the ends of the earth. Someone has said, it is not the church of God that has a mission, but the God of mission who has a church. Got that? It's not the church of God who has a mission, but the God of mission who has a church. Our God is a missionary God. All the way through, from Genesis to Revelation, it is always the world he's concerned with. And his people can never be satisfied with just impacting their local community. We've always got to think world if we're to be biblical. Now, why do we need to go? Well, this psalm gives us 3 reasons. Let's look at them. Number 1, because the world needs light. Because the world needs light. Verse 1 says this: may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. We live in a world that is desperate for God's light. Story told of an airplane, and as it was cruising along, the pilot made an announcement. He said, ladies and gentlemen, we have some good news for you, we have some bad news. It all went quiet. He said, first the good news, we are making record time. And everybody cheered. He said, but the bad news, we're lost. I can't help thinking that's a good description of the world in which we live. We are making record time. We have got advancements in medicine, in science. You name it, we're advancing in it. At the flick of a button, you can talk to someone live in Australia by Skyping them. Incredible technology. What advancements we're making. And yet you watch the news and you pick up a newspaper and the world is as lost as it's ever been. Newspaper headlines or stories that break your heart. The wickedness and the selfishness of human beings. Record time, advancements in every area of life. But the human heart cannot be changed, or doesn't seem to be able to be changed. We live in a dark world that needs God's light. And I love how this psalm demonstrates God's light for his world. First of all, it says, may God be gracious to us. May God be gracious to us. God demonstrates his life light in grace. Dennis the Menace was in one of the comics, wasn't he? Anyone know which one? The Beano, you Dennis fans. Dennis the Menace, in one of the stories, he's with his friend Joey, and they're outside a house. And in their hands are freshly baked cookies, freshly baked biscuits. And Joey says to Dennis, "I wonder what we did to deserve these." And Dennis's reply is really insightful. He says this: "Mrs. Wilson gives us cookies not because we are nice, but because she is nice." Isn't that insightful? Mrs. Williams gives Wilson, sorry, gives us cookies not because we are nice, but she is nice. Listen, God deals with his world in grace. Not because the world is nice and deserves it, but because God is nice. Sometimes in life we experience grace. Grace is when you don't get what you deserve. I remember sitting in a coffee shop not long ago and just enjoying the moment. I'd got a mug of black nectar before me and I was slowly sipping away. Paradise Blend, I think it was. Beautiful coffee. And I suddenly remembered my car in a car park and the ticket was just about to run out. I had about 60 seconds to get there. What a dilemma. Do I finish the nectar in my mug and get a ticket? Or do I run and try and save getting a big fine? Well, I ran. I got to the car park and there was a warden standing next to my car with a great big smile on her face. What do you do in a situation like that? Well, you creep, don't you? You say, "Oh, please don't give me a ticket. I'm not really late." Well, I am late, but you know what I mean. I'm in a strange town. I don't know where I am. Please don't give me a ticket. And she said this: "You are late, but you are allowed a 10-minute grace period. A 10-minute grace period." Now, had I been sharper, I could have said to the warden, "But what is grace? I've got a grace period. What is it?" And she probably would have replied something like this: "I guess it means even though you're supposed to pay, you don't have to. Even though you're supposed to pay, you don't have to." Hey, God is a God who deals with the world in grace. He gives to us what we don't deserve and he fits the bill. So he said, may God give to the world what it needs. And you fit the bill, God. Secondly, he says, may God bless us. May God bless us. To be blessed means to be favoured of God. Blessings are associated directly with God and they come from God. When we use that word, "Oh, bless you," I guess to an unbeliever, it's a bit like wishing them good luck. But to the Christian, when you bless someone, it's like saying a mini prayer for them. We want God's favour and God's goodness to rest upon you. That's what we're saying when we use that word, "bless you." And this is a God who blesses us. But look what the psalmist says, because it's very insightful in verses 2 and 3. He says, "Lord, bless us." Why? "So that your ways may be known on the earth." He's not saying, "Lord, bless me so I can enjoy the good life." He's not saying, "Lord, bless me so that I don't have to work hard and make a living." He's not saying, "Lord, bless me so that others will get envious." He's not saying, "Lord, bless me so I can be successful." And listen carefully to this one. He's not even saying, "Lord, bless me so I can bless others." He's quite specific. He says, "Lord, bless me that I can glorify your name." That's what he says. "Bless me so that I can glorify your name. I want your power, your love, your mercy, your majesty, your goodness to be seen in all the nations." In the olden days, they used to have what's called a catechism. They used to teach by way of a catechism in Sunday schools and churches. And a catechism is a series of questions and answers. Questions and answers. And it was specifically done for people who had just come to faith, to help them learn good Christian truth, good Christian doctrine. And I guess the most famous catechism is the Westminster Shorter Catechism, composed in 1646 and then revised in 1647 by a group of English and Scottish clergymen. And if you come across a catechism, the very first question is this: what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end of man? In other words, why are we here on planet Earth? What is our purpose? What is the point of our existence? And if you know a catechism, you'll know the answer is this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The chief end of man, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Boy, that is so insightful. And that is exactly what the psalmist says: Lord, bless me so that you will be glorified. And the focus there is this: we don't exist, or God doesn't exist to meet our needs. Rather, we exist to glorify him. And verse 3 shows us that God's goal is much broader than you and I naturally think. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. All nations. Anyone know how many countries there are in the world? Just a rough guess will do.
150.
Alice is on 150. Do I have higher than 150? Just go. 210 at the back.
760.
How many?
260.
260 by Jim.
700.
Hold it, Josh. 203 by Josh.
700.
Seven, Colleen, your miles out. Oh, all those close. There are 230 countries in the world. Give or take one or two, because new countries come out every so often. 230 countries in the world. The verse doesn't say all countries.
Maybe I was thinking of languages.
Yeah, the Great Commission is never going to all countries. It is always all peoples. All peoples. And there are 13,000 people groups on planet Earth. What is a people group? Someone distinct by their own language and their own culture. So the Kurds in Iraq, the Navajo in America, the Dalits in India, the Pitjantjatjara of Australia, the Yao in Africa, the Dai in China. People who are distinct. They're a people group. And this verse says, hey, all people groups, all 13,000 need to hear the gospel so that they can worship the God who made them. And this psalmist says, Lord, bless me, why? So that you'll be glorified in all nations. There was a Swedish au pair who had just started working for an English family, and she'd not quite got a grasp of the English language. And she was looking after some children, and they were a bit naughty. As soon as she went out the room, it was pillow fights, and it was trouble, and it was tricks. And she came in, and it looked like a bomb had exploded in the front room. And like I say, she'd not quite got a grasp of the English language. And when she came in, the look of horror on her face at the mess before you. And she meant to say, what on earth are you doing? But because she hadn't quite grasped the English language, instead it came at us, what are you doing on earth? You know, when we read this psalm, I think God says to each one of us, hey, what are you doing on earth that I might be glorified? Amongst all nations, are you praying? Are you giving? Are you going? Are you making a difference? So this psalm says, I don't know why it's died. This psalm says, may God bless us. You saw that happen, and no one said anything, did you? It's all good to point to that. May God bless us. May God be gracious to us. And thirdly, may God shine his face on us. May God shine his face on us. We'll try it. May God shine his face. Hey, you know, a person's face is always very revealing. Often a preacher can look at a congregation's face. You know exactly where they are. Those who are feeling guilty, look down. Those who are really naughty, sit at the back. You can tell when someone's bored, when someone's had enough. You can tell when someone's not happy, their face is a genuine downcast. And others come in and they're glowing, they're shining, they're bright. And the psalmist says here that God's face shines. I like that. It reminds me like when you wake up in the morning and you pull back the curtains and the sun's shining. Does it make you feel good? One day you wake up, you pull back the curtains and it's raining. You go, oh, your heart sinks. But you pull back those curtains and the sunshine, boy, it just lifts up your whole day. Psalmist says here that God shines upon his people and he lifts our spirits. Whatever our circumstances, there is always hope. There is always encouragement. There is always a reason to live. Because God shines his face on his people. So this psalm reminds us, hey, first of all, lost now, I haven't got the slides, have I? Because the world needs light. Secondly, he says, because the world needs joy. The world needs joy. Look at verse 3. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. And guide the nations of the earth. I was going to show you a picture of a man called Robert Reed. You can read his story in his book called Bursting with Life. Bursting with Life. Let me give you a snapshot. His hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his own teeth. He can't comb his hair. And he can't put on his own underwear. Strips of Velcro hold his shirts together. His speech drags like a worn out audio cassette. Robert has cerebral palsy. The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding the bike, going for a walk. It didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending university, in which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from actually teaching, lecturing at a college, or from venturing overseas on 5 different mission trips. And Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary in Portugal. He moved from America to Lisbon in 1972. There he rented a hotel room and he began to study Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who, at the end of his shift, when it had gone quiet, who would feed him each day. He found a tutor who would come and instruct him in the language. And then he would station himself in one of the local parks every day for 40 years. For 40 years. Within 6 years of being in Portugal, he led 70 people to the Lord, one of whom became his wife, a lady called Rosa. When he speaks at a church, he's not after sympathy or pity. In fact, the opposite. He holds his crooked hand up in the air and he shouts out to the congregation, I have everything I need for joy. What is the source of his joy? It's Jesus. It's his relationship with God. And because it is something that thrills his heart, he's prepared to go to great extremes to share it with others. His shirts are held together by Velcro, but his life is held together by Jesus. And joy is the theme of these verses. Verse 4, be glad. Verse 4, sing for joy. Verse 5, twice he says, praise the Lord. Robert Rainey was a Scottish clergyman. He was principal of New College in Edinburgh. And he had the nickname Principal Rain. He was known for his cheerful, his happy manner. And when people would ask him, why are you so cheerful? Why are you so happy? Why do you... You know, why is your spirit uplifted when everyone else is downcast? And Principal Rains would give a little metaphor. He would say this: joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. Joy is the flag flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. How is the world going to experience the joy and the happiness and the contentment without Jesus? They're not. That's why this psalm says you and I are to go and glorify God so that these people too will hear the message and experience his joy. When the king is in residence there. Let me ask you this morning, where's the king in your life? Is he in residence? Is the flag flying high? Or is he absent? Distant? Listen, he need not be distant. And the message of the Bible is this. It's as simple as A, B, C and D. A, the Bible says, if we're willing to admit, yeah, I'm flawed. I ignore God. I do things that displease him. The Bible says, admit, hey, we're sinful people. Sinful by nature, sinful by practice. B, believe. Believe what? That God is gracious. God meets our deepest need. Do we deserve it? No. But he's good. He sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I can believe and find forgiveness. C, consider. Jesus said, look, you don't build a house unless you first sit down and figure out, can we afford it? Have we got enough materials? And then you go ahead and build. And don't come and follow me, said Jesus, unless you realise what the cost is. It's not Sundays now and again. Hey, it's a commitment. It's a life decision. I will follow you and make you Lord of my life. And then D, there's something to do. And we often say, hey, Christianity, becoming a follower of Jesus may start with a prayer and a promise, but it doesn't end there. But something you can do, you can make that commitment this morning in a simple prayer. Say, oh God, forgive me. Come into my life. Turn me around. Help me not to be ashamed of you, but to follow you. And you can start that journey as a follower of Jesus. A, B, C or D. Something to admit, something to believe, something to consider, something to do. You know, even at the end of this service, as folks are having a cup of tea, we have a little vestry there. If anybody wants to come and chat, more than happy to chat and to pray with you for a few minutes. Why do we need to go? Because the world needs light. Why do we need to go? Because the world needs joy. Why do we need to go? Third and finally, because the world needs life. Look at verse 5 to 7. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the people praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. I wonder what the harvest is he's talking about. Is it a harvest of people? Because he's been talking about going out with the gospel. It may be. But the psalmist here may be thinking of, Lord, as you have blessed us materially, may the other nations look on and think, wow, God has blessed them. Would he bless someone like me? Charles Allen, in one of his books, tells the story that at the end of World War II, the Allied armies went to some European cities and found a number of orphan children. And so they took them and took them into care. But there was a problem. None of these orphans would sleep a whole night through. They would wake up and they would have horrible dreams of their experiences, of how they had no food, no water, how their lives were in danger. And they didn't quite know how to calm them at night and had to get them to have a good night's kip. And then one spark had the bright idea of, when the kids went to bed at night, to give them a slice of bread, not to eat but to keep. And these orphans put it under their pillow and they slept the whole night through. It had taken away the fear that in the morning they would be hungry. The bread satisfied their desires. Hey, without food we die, but with food we live. And we saw that in Uganda. They need a physical harvest to survive. So do we. We need food to live. But we also need spiritual food, or we die. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. No one needs to be hungry for God. We were sharing the story of how Jesus fed 5,000 people at youth group not too long ago. And maybe have been as many as 10,000, because in Bible days they didn't count women and children. Huge crowd, and Jesus fed them. And I love how the story starts. We're told he took some bread in his hands. Hey, if it's in his hands, he can do great things with it. Place the scalpel in my hands, I cause a lot of damage. Place it in the hands of a surgeon, it brings healing and life. Put a golf club in my hands and you'll hear the word "four," which means look out, ball could be anywhere. Put the same golf club in hands of Rory McIlroy or James Day. Hey, you watch an expert at work. Put a paintbrush in my house? Well, I'd give a wall a coat of emulsion, but that's about all. Give it to someone like Van Gogh. He'll create a masterpiece. A gun placed in the hands of a terrorist kills. Placed in the hands of a UN peacekeeper brings stability. See, it's whose hands it's in that makes all the difference. Jesus took some bread and he fed 5,000 plus people. Why? Because it was in his hands. And if we put our lives in his hands, no safer place to be. We will experience his grace. We will experience his blessing. We will experience his light shining on us. And the last line of the psalm says, so that all the ends of the earth will be blessed. No, it says, they'll all fear him. They'll all fear him. They will look on how God blesses his people and they'll fear they're missing out and say, I want some of that. So I guess the challenge as we go is this. What do people see when they look at us? Do they see the blessings of God, the goodness of God? Or do they see Mr. and Mrs. Grumpy? Mr. and Mrs. Moaney? Mr. and Mrs. Religious? May they look at us and say that person's God is real to them. And they fear they're missing out. And they too want to discover this God. Not just of the harvest, the God of all nations. A God who's interested in each one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that this world needs light and you are the light of the world. This world needs joy and you promise abundant life. Fountains of joy to those who trust in you. And this world needs life. Thank you that you are the life of man. You give us physical life, you give us spiritual life. Lord, apply these words, these principles to our hearts and their minds. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.